pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm a fool for Christ. Is that okay for me to say here on April Fool's Day? I'm a fool for Christ. And it's amazing, the more I become a fool for Christ, the dumber the rest of the world begins to look. Have you noticed that, folks? Have you noticed some of the things that you've been talking about, some of the things you've been warning people about, becoming more and more obvious that you're not the tinfoil hat guy, or girl they all thought you were? What a time to be alive. Thanks for joining us here this morning on April 1st, April Fool's Day. And boy, there's a lot of foolish stuff that's going on. And I was trying to figure out as I was coming down here today exactly what we wanted to do, where our greatest need is, because we can get in here again. We could argue again about, by the way, that video yesterday on 5G just really had a hard, I shared that with a lot of different people, and I had a hard time, what's the word I'm looking for? Debunking that. It just makes so much sense. I really, not sure that we really still understand what's going on. Really not sure that we do. But I want you to come here because we thank you for coming here, because I want to try to bring a little clarity. We love here to take the Bible and apply it, look around us. And I really believe that the greatest thing that's being exposed right now is give me the right word, Lord, how deficient our pulpits have been in guiding Americans to truth. And I'm talking beyond the scriptures. If the only reason you go to church is to better understand the Bible, if you go to church for a pastor to be able to make you feel like a brave little Christian and everything that's going on, and this is what the end times are going to look like, and this is what the Bible says is going to happen, and you can look here for this sign. If that's all you go to church, I don't know about you. I live in the natural world. I live here. And somebody once told me, I got a Bible right here before me. They used to do this as a joke, and it says, the Bible is, basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. In other words, how to live your life while here. I don't think the Bible is a book about heaven. I mean, it talks about it, but I don't think it's a book about that. I don't think there's a book telling you how to live your life in heaven. I think the Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth, yet we don't apply them. We don't apply the basic instructions on how we're supposed to operate, what we're supposed to do, what our role is here, what authority that we have here. Jesus said, occupy till I come. And that doesn't just mean sit in the chair. So we find ourselves in these times which people love to say, well, Coach, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. And it does. And why does the Bible tell you that's what's going to happen? So you can sit there and watch everything unfold, or are we supposed to be actively engaged and involved in everything that's going on? 67 years old. I can't believe I'm 67. How could I possibly be that old? But I am. I am. And I look back over my shoulder. Demon, kind of. I wish I knew what I knew now. I wish I knew 30 years ago what I knew now. There'd be a lot of things different had I known and applied what I know now. But we live in the information age. We have things right at our fingertips. And yet we have information right at our fingertips, and we still don't want to believe it, and we don't want to apply it. I can't for the life of me explain it. But my journey into church is more than about just getting by, just waiting for the great by and by, and someday I get raptured out. Are you living your life for that? If you're living for your life for that, why don't you get one of your family members to go, some non-believer, take you out back, knock you off so you can get to heaven sooner? If that's what you believe, I wouldn't ask you to. I mean, you couldn't kill yourself because, you know, that's You don't go to, supposedly don't go to heaven if you kill yourself. But man, your neighbor, he's going to hell anyway. Let him shoot you. Get on with it. Why don't we sell everything you have? Get rid of everything. Why are you hunkered down, worrying so much about your life? Worry about you getting sick here and getting sick. Hey, we're not supposed to have any impact. Just drink some of that, whatever that guy drank that killed him. He thought he was going, you with me? And that's the attitude I try to bring here every day. Okay, here's what I see. Here's what we should do. Or here's what's going on. What does the Bible say we should do? That's the way I try to live my life. And that's the purpose of what I hope this show does. We can't get angry at each other because we don't agree with it. We're trying to form a battle plan here. How's this thing going to play out? I don't know. Nobody really seems that well. We think we do, right? And yet I'm going to sit or what? How much longer do I have? I was talking to Michelle about that last night. I'm 67. 60. I'm going to die at some point. I'm going to. I don't know how long that is. And how should I live out these last 15, 20 years of my life? How should I live it out? Should I get a big old camper and go live down in Florida? Go to church every Sunday? No. Wait, I could go to church every day. I could go down and get a place to stay down there. Larry, I'll come down with you. I'll come to Myrtle Beach. I always like Myrtle Beach. I'll come down Myrtle Beach and put me on the beach and just sit there and read the Bible all day. I'll read the Bible all day and listen to tapes all day, and I'll study prophecy. I think that's what I'll do. Give me 15 years of that, and then when the end time comes, I'll recognize it. Is that what we're supposed to do? And so we have this opportunity right now, this all hell's breaking loose all across the fruited plain, and Christians are totally, completely unequipped to do anything about it. I wonder how many pastors even understand the basics of how the enemy has destroyed us and what's going on. To think that pastors are criticizing Rodney Howard Brown shows me they don't get it. Jared, I want to start off with that here real quickly. Folks, I put a lot of time and effort into today's show. Came up with a lot of stuff. Listen, I'll give somebody a chance to say something. I hear somebody trying to get in. Jared, get that first video ready for me, if you will, buddy. Because listen, Jared, let's do this. Let's go real quickly, Jared, to Romans 13. Bear with me, folks. I'm taking you someplace. In fact, I got a PowerPoint I'd like to instruct you on a little bit. Because, again, we believe in mixing the Bible with what's going on. We believe the Bible is important to government. Yes, we do. We really do. We don't believe that there's a separation between the church and the state. We believe that there's a separation between the feds and the state. I believe there's a wall separation there between the federal government. That's where the wall separation is, folks. It's not between the church and the state. Okay? Because the state, I'll get ahead of myself here. So we got Romans 13, because I'm going to tell you something. People who are mad at Rodney Howard Brown, I hope to have him on here, by the way. Let every soul be subject to the high powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. The highest power is God. If you disobey God, if the government wants you to disobey God, they have no authority to do that, folks. And this idea that we're supposed to obey government simply because God ordained it, that says it right there, right? Folks, has it ever dawned on you that government is disobeying God? Government's disobeying God? And if the government is disobeying God, are you supposed to obey the government that's disobeying God? Or as it says, be subject if there's no power but of God. Whoever resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. When the government says it's okay to murder babies, they are resisting the ordinance of God. Government becomes the lawbreaker, friends. Government that does. We become complicit when we fall in line with ungodly rules and edicts from an ungodly, unbiblical government. We become terrors. We do. We permit it. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. What? Say it again. For rulers are not a terror to a pastor having church. This is, come on here. Rodney Howard Brown obeyed God rather than man. And people say, well, Coach, Rodney Howard Brown, he's going to get more people sick. And Dr. Brown would say, I'm going to get more people soul healthy. I'm not worried, although I'm worried about their body. I'm not worried about their body. I'm worried about their soul. And so, therefore, this place is open for business. Now, you don't have to come. If you feel like you shouldn't come, you don't come. I thought we're pro-choice here in America. Pro-choice. Dr. Brown said, I'm going to keep my church open, and if you want to come, you come, because we are in the soul business. We're not into the physical body business. We hope to heal people. We hope people have a long, prosperous life, but that's not our first job. Our first job is souls. We're about souls. And in this time when everything seems so out of whack, we think the doctor's office ought to be open for whoever wants to come. And then you go online and you see Christians saying how reckless he is. It is for people who are just worried about this life. Yes. So Sheila Zielinski sent me this morning this 6-minute video. I want to show you this. Pull it up there, Jared. It's for 28 minutes, right? I just want you to see Tom Lapey, 25 years in law enforcement, says Rodney Howard Brown was illegally arrested. This is a former cop, right? Just 6 minutes. Jared, I think you can do time and a half on it. I think we'll be able to follow that. So folks, just ponder this. I'm going to take you somewhere today. Stay with me here, okay? Promise you, you'll be glad you stayed.
So, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown was arrested today in Hillsborough County for having two church services this past Sunday. So let's go over what really happened. And I want you to know that I've done my part in this and I've researched this. So what I tell you is true. You can look it up for yourself. Hey, Susan, glad you're on. So what was he arrested for? He was arrested for having church services. Here's what he was charged with. He was charged with unlawful assembly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is a sad day for me in a lot of ways because, you know, I was a cop for 25 years, retired in 2017. And it's a sad day for me to say some things that I'm about to say about the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. The sheriff, Chad Cronister, I believe is how you pronounce his name, Chad Cronister, and his cohort with the state attorney's office. So anyway, Rodney Howard Brown was arrested today for unlawful assembly. And I can tell you from knowing the Florida state statutes the way that I do, that is a bogus charge. Absolutely a bogus charge. And he needs to sue the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, namely Chad Cronister, the sheriff, because he's the one who really did all of this. So anyway, next thing he was arrested for was for violation of public health emergency rules. Hey, Sonny, glad you're on. Erica, glad you're on. So he was arrested for those two things, both of them second-degree misdemeanors, punishable up to 60 days in jail, and I can't remember the fine amount, $50,000 or something like that. So that's what he was arrested for. Sheriff Chad Cronister said that when he saw, I'm reading this off of a news source that I got, that when he saw images from a crowded Sunday service at the church, he was furious. Now, anybody who's been in law enforcement, that's not when you make decisions, is when you're furious, for one thing. So there's mistake number one. Cronister said that Brown violated, now listen, he said that Rodney Howard Brown, in having these church services, violated the president's order. Now, I just watched the president's latest news conference where he was asked by the media, are you going to issue any nationwide curfews or lockdowns? And the answer was no. So he did not violate the president's order. Chad Cronister is a liar. He did not do that. That is a bold-faced lie. And for those that I saw on this, I was watching it on Channel 8 as they were doing their Facebook Live on Channel 8. And there was people putting comments on there, both supporting and against the pastor, and said they should arrest everybody, arrest those that went to the church, everything. Is that really where we're at? Is this really where we're at and this is where we want to be? I want you to think about that. So Cronister says that Rodney Howard Brown violated the president's order. That is incorrect and completely wrong. And then he said that Rodney Howard Brown, by having these two church services, violated the governor's order, executive order. That is a bold-faced lie. There is no executive order from Governor DeSantis about religious gatherings. There is no such order. I looked at every single coronavirus order that Governor DeSantis has issued, that he's executed, and there is not one order. He has recommended, as the president has recommended, that nobody gather with more than 10 people. Cronister, that is not an order. Your trumped up unlawful assembly charge is trumped up and unlawful, and I hope you get sued for it. The only thing that he had any reason to arrest him for was this. They do have a Hillsborough County order. Hillsborough County, not the state of Florida. For all my Foundation Church family, there's no order for the state of Florida. So Hillsborough County has an emergency policy group. What does that sound like, a grouping of morons? But anyway, a Hillsborough emergency policy group, and they issued a stay-at-home order. Now, when was it executed? Hey, Greg, glad you're on, brother. Hey, Deborah, glad you're on. When was this executed? 2 days before the church services. March 27th. 2 days. Well, that's a whole... They said they've been in contact with them and all this stuff. So they execute this really what would be a county ordinance, a county order, that you're not allowed to assemble more than 10 people at a religious service. They issue it 2 days before the man has his services. 2 days. And then they issue a warrant for Rodney Howard Brown. Listen, I don't agree with everything Rodney Howard Brown says or does. I don't agree with any pastor, everything they say or do. But we definitely are like-minded with this. So 2 days before his services, they execute this order. And then when he violates it, they issue a warrant for his arrest. And there's Christians that are watching this, and you think they're right. Oh, well, you know what? It's a public health hazard, and he should be abiding by it. Don't worry, I'm going to show you the numbers in a minute. And you can decide whether to believe facts or your feelings, facts or drama, facts or the Democrats.
I kind of find it ironic that 15 years ago today, Terry Schiavo died. 15 years ago. I spent a week down there with Terry Schiavo. It was one of the first real activists and things that I'd done. It was 2005, I believe it was. Yeah, I think it was 2005. And that was the start of this whole thing, see. This was the start of this whole thing when a judge in Pinellas County, whatever county, down in Florida, said that they could starve Terry Schiavo to death. They said Terry Schiavo, a health issue, right? So now we're looking at a situation where we're not talking about the federal government. We're talking about a local health department issuing an order that people cannot gather together. Now, question we have to ask ourselves, does the health department have the right to violate the First Amendment of the Constitution? Do they have the authority, the health department, to tell a church they cannot gather? I'm going to give you some instruction here this morning. I want to pause right there a second, and I want to hear from some of you if you think they do. Now, listen, not issuing an idea saying, listen, we think it would be best if you didn't gather. That's different than saying you can't gather. That's different. And I want to hear, or is there anyone out there who thinks that the health department or the city or the state or the federal government has the right to say you cannot peaceably assemble? Somebody come in and make that argument for me.
Don't you have to vote on a law?
Well, is it a law, Joseph? Listen, folks, I started at Romans 13. I want to be a law keeper, okay? I want to be a law keeper here. And I started with Romans 13 that says there is no law except the law of God. And any law below that, if it violates the law of God, is not a law. Marbury versus Madison said what? Anything repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. Folks, anything repugnant to God's law is null and void. The same principle applies. I'll shut up, Matt. Come on.
I got one more
today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what authority does a health department have to issue any quote unquote law? That's number one, a statute. So that's right. They're out the door right there. And well, secondly,
Gary, keep that thought a minute. They're issuing a statute that violates the First Amendment. Go ahead.
Oh, and the other point is related to this. Are we going to, I think we should be flooding the Hillsborough Sheriff's Office with a lot of protest calls and whatnot about what happened there?
Well, I think Dr. Brown said yesterday that he is not having church this week, but he's announcing something. So there's something being organized. I know that, Gary. I don't know what it is, but something's being organized.
Hey,
I want to camp just a second. I want to camp right here and let us think now. Take the coronavirus out of the picture. Should a health department tell you cannot go to church? That's what we're talking about. Was that Larry? Whoever, come on in.
No, it's me. But the pastor in Louisiana was arrested, and he told them we will have church this week, and the next guy will be up. If you arrest him, the next guy will be up. But I want to take Rahm Emanuel's theory and apply to the church. Rahm Emanuel says, never let a good crisis go to waste. The church, the spineless church, says, never let a good crisis, you know, go without a good excuse. This is their excuse. And this brings me to Luke chapter 9, where it says, let the dead bury the dead. Lord, I got a field to attend. Jesus says, a man who puts his hands to the plow is not worthy of the cause. So never let a good cause go without a good excuse. That's what I see.
And so listen, Abortion clinic still open. I can't even get in the door at Walmart. Can't even get in the door at Kroger's. But churches, health department tells the church you can't open. And so some idiot said to me yesterday, they said, well, I said something about Home Depot being open. And they said, well, golly, they closed down Home Depot. Where are people going to get food? Children will starve. I said, what, are they going to eat nails? What food do they sell at Home Depot? Come on, man. Come on, folks.
Hey, Coach, this is where we are. This is how we get there. We're way beyond where we are.
Christians are there.
Darn.
Christians are there. I'm not worried about the lost world. I'm not worried about the devil's kids trying to shut us down. Christians are engaging in this shutting down churches. Christians are involved. Christians are on the devil's side.
We are the church is tax excluded. Before it's not tax exempt. We beg for an exemption. We beg for permission to operate. The church is tax and excluded before, not exempt.
Above the government, the church is above the government. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Yes,
Coach. We're seeing the Nicolaitan church in Revelation chapter 2. Who Jesus hates, mixed with the Laodicean church. And this coronavirus, Satan's golden glowing crown, has exposed the church in America, not just in America, around the world, but we're here. So America, from border to border, and sea to shining sea, T.D. Jakes, Osteen. Brother, what would they do if every pastor stood up and said, no, we're all having church? But see, they're not going to do it because only a remnant is going to stand because we're living in the last days and the true church is going to rise up. Well, and so that's the bottom line. God bless Tony Spale.
Amen.
God bless Rodney Hyde Brown. And if there's going to be any protests, and I'll be right in the middle of it, we can have a camp right here at my house. I'm 40 minutes from it.
Hey, folks, how about this? They're not telling people they have to go to church. The pastors aren't saying to people, you have to come or it's a sin. They're saying the church is open. Come if you want to. Just like go to Walmart if you want to. Just like go to Home Depot if you want to. Just like go to Lowe's if you want to. Just like go to wherever if you want to. We are grown people with the ability to make decisions. Do we want the federal government? Oh, no. The health department. Telling the church you can't gather. I can't believe that Christians cannot see the danger of this. I just can't. I can't.
You got to get educated or get out of the conversation. You got to get educated or get out of the conversation, people. That's where we are. We don't have a clue.
Yeah, bring up the governor of Texas. Keep going, Alan. Bring up the governor of Texas.
Yeah. We either believe that Jesus Christ heals every sickness and every disease, or we need to throw the Bible in the trash can. And that's it right there. That's where the gauntlet's at right there.
No, we either believe he's King of Kings and Lord of all. That's all. That's right.
That's it. It's all encompassing.
Either he's the king or the health department's king. It can't be both.
Amen.
Now, look here.
Well, the focus is right now on this disease. So he's either king over this disease or he's not. I mean, that's just it. Either we're possessed enough by the Holy Ghost to believe it, or we need to go sit down and hunker in a bunker.
So how about this guy right here? How about Governor Greg Abbott? Closed down, I don't know if you saw this, he closed down the abortion clinics, and the courts come in and say, nope, you can't do that. Now, wait a minute. He can tell us all that we have to shelter at home, right? But he can't close down the clinics. Wake up, people. Well, what happened to the courts yesterday? Did anybody see it? Court stood with the governor. Texas abortion clinics are closed, right? Rodney Brown, Howard Brown can't have church.
Amen.
They can kill babies. So this guy stood up and look at this. Look here. Look what Governor Abbott did. Breaking news. Texas governor prohibits counties and cities from banning religious services. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it, because understand this, folks. Oh, I wish I had 6 days. Religion is not a national issue. The federal government, Congress, shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor determining when and where people can go to church. The federal government has no authority over religion. States do. States have some authority over religion. But again, when the court says, see, the courts are nothing more than a rebellious child. They're sitting under their father, the King of Kings, and the courts don't like what the King of Kings said. So the court said, heck with you, Dad. We're going to do what we want to. That's what's happened in America. We have this upside down. Government is under the authority of the church, under God. Folks, it isn't just a saying. And we are in this mess because we let ungodly people tell us they will not obey God's law. That's all that's what's happened. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach, can I interject one thing here? Last night, General Mills, Governor Mills of Maine, made a speech about this and put restrictions on travel. And when was asked what they were going to use for enforcement, how they're going to enforcement, she used Title 37B, which is martial law.
We're under soft martial law.
Sheriffs, you sheriffs out there, you law enforcement out there, just got to understand that under emergency, the sheriff no longer is the people's representative. The sheriff comes under Homeland Security. We're late, people. We're late. I don't think we can catch up. We're late.
We have to try. Listen, when I was down in Pinellas County when Terry Schiavo was starved to death. Yes, starved to death. Starved to death. Under the watchful eye of the church, by the way. You know what the message came out after Terry Schiavo was starved to death? You know what the pulpits were talking about then? Hey, I can go back and show you. I wrote about it. I can go back and show you. You know what the pulpit's answer was? Get a living will. See, there you go. There you go. Not stand up for life. Give a living will so they don't do that to you as well. Because it's obvious now the government can decide who lives and who dies. You ever heard of abortion? It's exactly what's going on.
Well, see, Dave, that's what we seem to do as quote unquote the church as a whole. Is we always try to find the loophole. We're trying to find a way around it rather than going through it.
Right. Opposing it, right? Opposing it, saying, no, our church is open. You don't have to come. You don't have to come. But we are essential for the nourishment of the soul. We are in the soul business here in the church. We're not in the meat and potatoes issue, although that's what we've made the church about pretty much. We've made it about prosperity. We have made it about that. But at the heart and at the root is we are about souls. So therefore, our building is essential, and we will remain open for anyone who would like to come and get some spiritual nourishment.
I misquoted myself earlier, Coach. I wanted to say never let a good excuse go to waste and why I don't go to church. But if we read the first opening of the Constitution of the United States, it addresses that very thing. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Jared Paul,
there is it. Now, I tell this to street preachers. I tell this all the time. I said, don't go with that as your arsenal. I said, because you'll fail. I said, because that's law of man. The fact of the matter is I don't preach out on the streets or I don't keep my church open because the law of the land says so. I do that because I have a biblical mandate to do so.
Amen. Jared, pull up the Bill of Rights for me right there. It's second one, third one down, Bill of Rights. Because again, folks, listen. The Constitution secures rights, doesn't grant them. Doesn't grant them. Click on the First Amendment, Jared. Very, 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 very clear. Very clear meaning, right? Congress shall make no law. Time out. Who makes laws? Courts. Courts make law? No. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. I can get into all that, and I will if I have time here. Or, see, these two folks, these two phrases are connected. Or is a connecting participle, all right? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Watch. Or abridging the freedom of speech in your church or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble. There's three violations right in the First Amendment. That if Congress can't, the health department can't. Sorry.
Coach, you got to also go back to Article 6, which is the oath to support that. The oath is so important. We don't enforce the oath. And they thought the oath was so important that after the Bill of Rights and all that was ratified, Washington's first United States statute, United States statute number one, was to enforce the oath. They mm-hmm. don't. No, okay, oath. We're oath breakers.
So listen, folks. Words mean things, and we've lost the meaning of words, right?
Yeah.
Jared, what is religion? An establishment of religion. Go to Webster. See if he tells us what that thing would be. What is religion? Because it's freedom of religion. And Webster said that religion is. Yeah, try that one. There you go, babe. I know what it is, but I want you to see it. Religion is the most, in the most comprehensive sense, includes a belief in the being and perfections of God. Folks, in the revelation of his will to man, in man's obligations to obey his commands, in a state of reward and punishment, and in man's accountableness to God, and also true godliness or piety of life, which the practice of all moral duties. It is therefore comprehends theology as a system or doctrine of principles, as well as a practical piety for the practical or moral duties without a belief in a divine lawgiver and without reference to his will or commands is not a religion. Let me read that to you again, my friends. It therefore comprehends theology as a system or doctrine of or principles as well as practical piety for the practice of moral duties without a belief in a divine lawgiver and without reference to his wills or commands is not a religion. Religion is a distinct from theology is godliness or real piety and practice consisting in the performance of all known duties to God. Religion is as a distinct from virtue or morality consists in the performance of the duties we owe directly to God. Presbyterianism is a religion. Lutheranism is a religion. Being a Baptist is a religion. It is a set of rules and regulations that those denominations believe are necessary in the servitude of God. That's what religion is. Jesus Christ is the foundation of all government. Jesus Christ is not a religion. They've lied to us. So the separation between the church and the state meant this, if it meant anything. No denomination in charge. No Church of America. That's what it meant. There was never a separate. The real separation, my friends, was between the federal government and the states. And the federal government was told, keep your nose out of your religion. It's none of your business. Because the states were set up by denominations. Oh, Lord, help us. Now, how do we apply that today when there's so much multiculturalism? See, we've lost because everybody does what's right in their own eyes, and the Supreme Court has been the arbiter of the commandments. The Supreme Court now tell us what's right and what's wrong. That's where we are. That's our problem. So religion is nothing more than the duties that we believe that you owe to God. That's what religion is. So Congress shall make no law respecting what duties you think you owe to God. That's all. We're not going to pick a religion. We're not going to have a national church here. If you want to do some reading, just this what I have up on it from the Cornell Law School. Just they got all kinds of resources. Yeah, go back one spot, Jared. It doesn't matter. There's all kinds of great stuff. Frustrates me because the church doesn't see. The church thinks there's a separation between the church and the state. The church believes that. We're closing our church buildings down because the health department told us to. It'd be like kids telling their dad how they were going to behave. They have no authority to do it, folks. Rodney Howard Brown is a law keeper, not a lawbreaker. Kim Davis, who stood up and would not sign homosexual marriage certificates, Kim Davis is a law keeper, not a lawbreaker. We've got it exactly upside down. As soon as the Supreme Court said that a man could marry a man, they were in violation of the law and their sworn duty, their sworn oath, Jack. The moment they said a man can marry a man, they had no authority at all. Romans 13 would say, get rid of them. Get rid of them. What, Romans 13? Go back to Romans 13. What's it say, Jared? What does Romans 13 say? Paul said what? Whosoever that resisted the power resisted the ordinance of God. Well, who's resisting the ordinance of God? Well, the Supreme Court. Well, get rid of them because they're not subject to the higher power. See, there's a hierarchy, and it ends with God. You don't pull a coup on God, but they have pulled a coup on God. God is now no longer head. He's one of many.
Because they think they pull a coup on God. Where do they find out the truth?
Yeah, Vinny, I don't worry about that, though, right? Because we're all going to find out
the truth. Hey, Coach.
Right here and right now. How
do we live our lives right now? Brother.
How do we take the Bible and live our lives right here and right now as a people gathered together? That's what I'm saying. When there was no king in Israel, when there was no God in Israel, when there was no law in Israel, everybody did whatever the heck they wanted. When there was no law in America, everybody did whatever the heck they wanted to do. Just look around. The problem's not God. The problem is those who have usurped the power of God. And he's sitting over there tapping his foot, about as mad as can be, wondering when his kids are going to get back in control, when his kids are going to take back what's rightfully theirs. He's over there tapping his foot. He said, Mike, you mean I sent my son for them to bow to the court? I sent my son for them to bow to the health department? Are you kidding me? Come on, folks.
Coach, we got to go back to Paul, Romans 13. The guy knew the law. He knew God's law. He knew the civil law, and he invoked both.
He did. He did, man. He did.
Hey, Coach, I got a question. Yeah. I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? Okay. You're saying out of Romans 13 that if the government breaks one law, you disobey all of it. That it's no longer an authority. You're getting that out of Romans 13. I'm not getting that out of Romans 13.
Why not?
Okay. My view is what Romans 13 is saying is God's appointed all authority. Okay, just like there's an authority for the police department to take care of evildoers, all right? Right. And they have, you know, if someone commits a crime, then there's an authority. When there is a jest against God, okay, in other words, you know, I think this would be a better argument or discussion is if the government came in and said, well, you're going to have to let boys go into girls' room and girls go into boys' room, I think that's a standing up point. I don't think the impotence of the health department is to shut the church down. I think the impotence of the health department is that there is a pandemic going on, okay? And, you know, if you go back and you look at Leviticus 6, all right, and if you want to read that, God was telling Moses how to deal with lepers.
I'm missing your point. Make your point so I can respond to it. I'm still waiting for the point.
star 6 to unmute.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you got muted. Yeah, there you are. Now come on back in.
Matt, I'm sorry.
I can work backwards.
My point was this. The point was the impotence of this is a pandemic. And my thing in Romans 13 that I don't see where if the government does something that it's not supposed to do, i.e., homosexual marriage, which we all agree on, okay, the impotence of what they're doing here is not necessarily against the church, so to speak. It's about the pandemic plague. Now, the argument is, hey, do they need to go to Home Depot or stuff? That's a legitimate argument. But the point that the health department is doing, because something is bad over here, doesn't necessarily you disregard it in everything over there. Well, I don't think that's necessarily an argument.
Come on, that's not even the argument I'm making. The argument I'm making is we have a government right now who says it's okay to kill babies. Are you okay with that? Is that a legitimate?
No, and I'll fight them on that.
How do you trust that same government to tell you that you can't go someplace?
Okay, look at it this way. Okay, so wait a minute. A broken watch is right twice a day. So let's look at the facts. God gave us the ability to reason, okay? And he's done this. If the idea is in 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever, that the churches are shut down, then let's all go together and storm them, you know, storm the government, okay? But the point being is you know, there's information out here that we need to digest. And if those people want to assemble, then let them assemble. But here's my view, okay? And I was a first responder. I worked in the fire department 30 years, okay? Where I work at right now, there's 6 guys that have COVID. There are people up in New York that are getting COVID. You know, it's like the hurricane.
Are you saying just obey the right laws and disobey the wrong? What's the point that you're making? I'm with you all. I'm with you. I'm trying to follow you.
What I'm saying is let's use reason. Is the impotence okay? But if the impotence is to keep people quarantined, which there is a law within the government. I sent you a link with the CDC.
So why are they? Why are they at Lowe's and Walmart?
What's that?
Let me jump in here for a second. Can I? The reason they are at Lowe's and Walmart, in my opinion, Dave, and to others, is they're wrong. Okay, they've just made that decision. We may not like it, but that's their decision. And I would not expect them to want to protect our faith. They haven't in the past only to get political support. What is going on just as a reflection of where our culture is as it relates to Christianity. It doesn't surprise me at all that they have not stood up for the churches. For one, the churches don't stand up for themselves. And two, the government is not on the side of the church. They're only on the side of the church for political foundations. That's my opinion.
Well said.
Those are all hypocrites, Coach. They're hypocrites. That's it.
Well, I'm not trying to make light of the point that he's making. The question I'm asking is this, right? Do we selectively follow? Do we say, well, that's a good law, I'll follow that one. They meant good here, I'll follow. No. Listen. In my opinion, they cannot, on a whim, violate the First Amendment to the Constitution. They can't just on a whim do that. They just can't.
It's not a menu.
They are right now on a whim violating the First Amendment to the Constitution. That's my point.
And they did it in 1918, Coach. I sent you a link.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, they closed down the churches for a period of time. Okay. I'm not saying they're not trying to close the church.
Yeah, I do not see them trying to close the. See, if I was a pastor, I would say, listen, okay, I'm going to give you 30 days. I'll shut down. I'll social media scream and so forth. And I'm okay with that. I'd be a team player for about 30 days to 45 days. Because I think the church is called to be a team player to some extent. However, as the gentleman said, if this went on for 6 months or 9 months, I might have a whole different view of it. But, you know,
those are arbitrary numbers.
I think of the church gathering in the state of Washington. There was a choir. They got together. They sang. They rehearsed. 40 people of the 120 left with the virus. 8 went into critical. 3 are dead. You know, should they have not met? Well, maybe for a while to see how things played out. But what I'm seeing is, you know, I've been so much against the church for 3 years. It's hard for me to rally to support any church except for the First Amendment issue. I disagree with the bulk of what Mr. Howard stands for down there, but you know, the First Amendment, I agree, is worthy of fighting for. But you know, I don't know. With the government's bad, the church is bad. Well, okay, let's agree with that. Then what do we as individuals do in our own lives to protect that First Amendment and to protect the freedom of gathering? You know,
is Rodney Howard Brown a lawbreaker? Let's start there.
Is he a lawbreaker? In the essence, I don't know what law he has broken, to be honest, but I don't know the exact statutes. I don't know if the Department of Health has the right to do anything or not. It seems, you know, I don't know that because I've not read the statute.
Well, the Department of Health can't say that it's a law. Okay, they're wrong on that. They're trying to push their chest out there. They should say, hey, we're under medical martial law or whatever it is, whatever the thing is, but it's not a law.
Well,
okay, they could enforce that based on community standards.
Well, and believe me, she or he didn't do that without the person's appointed by the governor. She or he would not have even said that if the governor was not in support of it. And quite frankly, the governor was probably getting cover. He probably wanted to do it, didn't want the political fallout, and had her or him do it.
Well, you know,
You and I live here in Ohio, Roger, and I've been watching Governor DeWine, and I don't know if there's been a more confusing message ever by a governor than Mike DeWine. He wants to protect people, but he doesn't want to protect people. We don't want you to do this, but we're not going to do anything if you do. I mean, it's like unbelievable. And why is that? I think it's because he knows in his heart he doesn't have the authority to do it. Why don't they just say that? Folks, listen, we don't have the authority to do it. We're not going to arrest you, but we suggest that you not do this. We think as good American citizens, you need to not gather together, but we will not tell you that you can't. But we suggest it. And then not have the threat of arrest and writing tickets. They don't have the power to they have the power to do it. They don't have the authority to do it.
Well, and so, ultimately, I think that would have been a better message out of the gate. And you could have given everybody a constitutional lesson on the importance of the Constitution, the First Amendment. And then you could have seen how people responded. This virus is never going to be stopped by a government mandate. It's going to be stopped by the people not wandering around when they shouldn't be for a while.
And it's breaking the authority of government. When they say you can't do this and then other people are doing it, it's the unjust system that we're all operating in. That's what we're all complaining about. I can't go to church, but I can go to Walmart. Help me out here. What am I missing, right?
Well, it's like in New York, the governor says that if the churches don't comply, he will shut them down permanently. What kind of deal is that?
I'm saying, listen, when we all agree, we would hope that most of our elected officials want to do the right thing. Some of them not, but most of them, they want to do the right thing. They're politicians. They don't want to make a wrong step. But folks, if we allow them to do the right thing by breaking the law, we are missing the boat. We cannot allow them to do the right thing by breaking the law. That's what they tell us. That's what they tell us. Governor DeWine wants to shut down Ohio, then he needs to get the legislature together and get an order to shut down Ohio.
We shut down self-governance and brought in federal governance, and we banned the 10 great laws. And so everything requires hundreds of thousands of inferior laws to try to cover the God laws. And we can't do it as humans. It's impossible. And so we've lost our ability to self-govern. Just as that gentleman is saying, we should stay home. We should not interact. We shouldn't sneeze on somebody. But unless there's a law against it, I'm going to do it. Really?
Yeah, well, here's the point again. My good buddy Alan lives down there in Florida. Alan, can you go to Walmart down there where you are, Alan, in Tampa? Can you go to Walmart?
Coach, listen. Rodney Hyde Brown passes four Walmarts on the way to church. Me and my preacher went to Walmart yesterday, sat in the parking lot. 600 people an hour going in right now. 600 an hour.
So you can go to Walmart and down in Tampa.
Yes, sir.
But you can't go to church.
Listen, when I say 600 an hour, that's just in Zephyr Hills. Tampa would probably be 1,000 an hour.
Well, you understand the point that I'm trying to make? We have unjust application of the law. That's how we got in the mess. We can't get them to close down abortion clinics. Why can't they close down abortion clinics? Because you can go to Walmart. You can go to Lowe's. If they're going to close it down, then you got to close it all down. Nobody's open. Nobody wants to go there. They don't have the authority to do it. Yeah, Mark.
This virus has totally changed people. Totally. They were the corrupt swamp in D.C. They're not anymore, Coach. No. It changed them. They're perfectly looking out for us, and we must listen to them, even though we don't have the freedom to go out and do things that we choose to do as Americans. Now, we ought to have the ability to watch out for other people, just like the flu. You don't rush up in Walmart and cough on somebody when you got the flu. No, we need the government to tell us not to go to church and stuff like that. All of a sudden, why do we believe that they changed and they're good and we need to listen to them? There's a tactic behind the isolation.
That's the point I'm making.
Unless you believe, like the sheeple, that Cuomo's an awesome guy now. Cuomo's awesome. Let's vote for him. That's what we're acting like. The government is all of a sudden good and looking out for us. Y'all need to look at that. Something's going on, guys, bigger than this.
So here's what
I'm
saying.
It's a virus, but
take the virus out of the picture. Let's pretend this is not about the coronavirus. Let's pick it as something else. Why does sometime the police, they get mad that we're gathering in our churches and we're speaking against the income tax? Do they have the right then to come in and say, well, you guys can't gather together? You say, Coach, well, that's ridiculous. No, it isn't. That's where this argument leads. They get to selectively say who can gather and who can't gather. I just want them to say, listen, nobody gathers or everybody can gather. And you ought to have some sense. Folks, it's dangerous out there. Don't gather. But don't arrest a pastor because he gathered when Walmart's full of people. That's my point.
Coach, we operate.
My two sons got to have a work pass to drive on the road down here in South Carolina.
We operate on case law. So once something is set in stone, you don't go back.
Ryan, that's what I was going to do here. Today I was going to talk about stare decisis. Folks, listen, please hear me. I think people shouldn't gather. If that's what they tell us to, I think they shouldn't gather. Can I be honest with you? I go to Walmart every day. I go to Lowe's every day. It's packed. Those people know that there's a virus. They know it's dangerous. These are some of them thinking human beings. Some of them maybe not so. But if they're going to tell me that I can make the decision about whether or not I'm going to go to Walmart, which, by the way, is not protected by the First Amendment, we run great danger if they say you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. Can't you see that? Can't you see it?
Coach, you're right. Amen, Coach.
Whether the decision is right or whether the decision is wrong, but the way the decision is being applied. That's my grumble.
Coach, the bottom line is the issue is what will I do? Will I choose freedom over tyrants and tyranny, or will I, for security's sake, fall in under tyrant rule?
That's it.
That's the question. Which one is going to rule me?
That is the real danger. What comes after this cave-in? That's what needs to be concerned about.
So
they're saying now they're going to make us start wearing masks if we go out here pretty soon. Okay. Here's the problem with that. If we don't have one of those painter's masks on when you're spray painting a car, when you're in there with all that, if you ain't wearing one of them, you're pissing up a string because that stuff ain't working. And everybody's walking around here with that junk on.
and it's a lie from the daggum devil, and everybody's falling right in line and step with all this crap. Makes me sick.
Can I go to my bank wearing one of those masks, I wonder?
All the banks down here are shut down. All you can do is drive through now.
Folks, I'm trying to open our eyes. See, it all goes, listen, please don't miss this connection. It all goes back to our willingness to disobey God's laws. It all goes back to that. There's a law against divorce, but people get divorced, right? There's a law against fornication, but people screw around. There's a law against lying, but people lie. And so the law, because we don't obey the Ten Commandments, we have become a lawless people. Because we're a lawless people, we don't have any problem when we see our government unequally apply the law. It doesn't bother us. The First Amendment specifically mentions the right to go to church and the right to peacefully assemble. And the health department has the right to trump those. I'm not arguing over whether or not we should gather or not. I'm arguing over authority. Authority. They don't have the authority. Do we look the other way just because it would be good for everybody? Or is there an authority structure in place? And why don't we follow that authority structure? Can I tell you why? Because the church doesn't. The church doesn't follow the authority structure. We've trained up people to act like good little Christians. You have time to get April 1st?
That's a mic drop, Coach. You hit it right on the head right there. That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. We don't follow God's law, so we're under judgment. That's it.
The church doesn't follow God's law, right?
Amen.
The Bible is not a menu. The Constitution is not a menu. We treat everything like a menu. It's not a menu. The Bible and the Constitution are not menus, folks. So the next question is a burqa qualify as a mask?
So we let them we let them put homosexuals up and play the organ in our churches and gripe when they get married. Huh? Come on. Isn't that it? So all of this lawlessness begins in the church. It began with us, and we're seeing the fruits of it. And our government has no moral standing at all anymore. Robert, can you do this in 2 minutes, Robert? April 1st?
Yeah, I can do it. You know, the problem is where this is heading. This is heading to a mandatory vaccine with a microchip. That's where this thing's headed.
Now you're a conspiracy theorist. Go ahead.
Okay, here we are. The more closely the sheep follow their shepherd, the more easily they will recognize and hear his voice. Guard against truth decay. Then this first sentence is really something. If only the Bible were read, properly preached, Romans 13, for example, and devoutly practiced, not hidden in a house, today we would see less truth decay. Biblical illiteracy and pastoral malpractice are perhaps the greatest sins today by those sitting in pews and those standing behind pulpits. Pastoral malpractice, we see that today. How can the promised helper and spirit of truth sanctify the believer who attributes little value to reading the Word of God and less value to devout practice of the Word? Yet there seems to be ample time for malpractice of the Word of God, or no practice of it, by clergy professionals who adulterate and peddle the Word. We see that in Romans 13.
Amen.
Consequently, although thy word is truth, we see much truth decay in believers who prefer pastoral pastries over the solid food of sound doctrine. Yet the blame also falls on contemporary believers who choose not to hear, read, and heed the written word of God. Such are not blessed, so says Jesus in his final words to the churches in Revelation 1:3. This was in keeping with his earlier teaching. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And Jacob, or James, the oldest half-brother of Jesus, said, the one who looks intently at the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. So we see that moral decay as well as truth decay can be prevented when proper health, heart health, is maintained. For in the Old Testament, it's written, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And again, thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So there you are, Coach.
Amen, Robert. Hey, folks, listen. I was just, as Robert was reading down through this, I don't know how any man of God can stand in the pulpit and not allow and permit Planned Parenthood to still be open. How can any man ever call himself a pastor when he looks the other way to a clear violation of God's law and man's law clearly and not do anything about it? And we wonder why our government's running rampant. We wonder why our government is selectively enforcing the law. And we wonder why we sit around and don't open our eyes and get angry and push back when we see our government violate their Ten Commandments. They don't follow the Ten Commandments. And we can't wait to fall in line and follow them as they take us down the wrong path. We'll see you tomorrow.